Hi everyone, and welcome back to the third video for the Old Testament Survey course. In this section, we'll talk about the relationship of the Old Testament to the New Testament and to the Bible as a whole. And we'll explore the nature of the unity of the Bible. So in this section, I want you to see the big picture of the Bible. I want you to see the unity of the Bible, and I want you to see how it all fits together. Now, there have been some misconceptions about the relationship of the Old Testament to the church. There's many people who think that the Old Testament God is cruel and vengeful, while the New Testament God is loving and forgiving. Well, are there two gods? Did God somehow radically change between the two parts of the Bible? No, I think that is a misunderstanding. And in this course, you're going to see that the Old Testament God is gracious, loving, and forgiving. And if you read the New Testament carefully, you'll also see that the New Testament God is just and he exercises wrath. Because it's the same God. There's only one God of the entire Bible, and he has a consistent character. And many other people teach that God had one plan, one way of dealing with people in the Old Testament, and then switched to a different one in the New Testament. These people would say something like, the Old Testament is about law, and the New Testament is about gospel and grace. That the Old Testament people live by works, and the New Testament people live by grace. That God has two different people. He has the people of Israel in the Old Testament, and then the church in the New Testament. That God's people and plan somehow had to change to plan B in the New Testament. Now, I disagree with this position as well. And as we go through this course, I want you to see that God has one perfect plan that has been unfolding throughout history and comes to its climax in Jesus. All of the Old Testament was leading up to Jesus, and Jesus and the church are perfectly in line with the Old Testament. So now let's talk about the nature of this unity of the Bible. Because it is one continuous story. That means we'll examine the nature of the history of the Bible as a whole. First, as mentioned in the previous section, it is real history. It's real life connected with actual space-time universe. It's not myth or virtual reality. It is a given reality, the real world, to which we must conform ourselves. You see, the gospel is good news of God's acts. That is what he has done in the real world. The gospel is not primarily about our response or our experience. See, the gospel is truth that is out there. It's objective truth about what happened. And it's true and it's real, even if we don't believe it. And it's true and it's real before we come to know it. See, the only foundation for our real subjective change in here is something happened out there. See, when I have a change of heart, I'm changing to conform to the real world of what God has done. And second, the Bible is salvation history. That is, it's the history of God rescuing and creating a people for himself. God is the center of the universe, and his work is the reason why the universe exists. And God's great work is to glorify himself by rescuing us from our sin and rebellion against him. Therefore, Jesus, his cross and resurrection, they are the centerpiece of all history. Everything before the cross is leading up to it, and everything after the cross flows out from this center. And then third, it is prophetic history. That means that history has meaning, but only God is qualified to explain that meaning, to explain why things happen the way that they do. All history has meaning and purpose, but none of us is smart enough to figure it out on our own. Only God is authorized and able to give meaning to what happens in the universe. And he has explained history, at least as far as we need to know what's going on. He has told us about his reasons. He's told us about what he is doing and his overarching purpose. He's told us the meaning of the world and all that happens in it. He has told us the meaning, not just of life in general, but he's told us the meaning of our personal lives. Therefore, we should learn and believe what he has said about how and why the world is the way that it is. And then fourth, because it is salvation history, working out God's purposes, all of the Old Testament is preparation for Jesus. Now, in the first section, we talked about how, in one sense, the Old Testament is about him. The Old Testament is all preparation, leading towards the full revelation of Jesus. In other words, Jesus is the reason for everything. And Jesus is the goal to which all things in the Old Testament are ultimately working. But that brings about a problem for our interpretation of the Old Testament. You see, if it's all about Jesus, how can we read it on its own history, which happened long before Jesus came on the scene? Remember, on the one hand, we talked about understanding the Old Testament in its own history. And we need to see it as they saw it in their own time, which means to see it on its own before Jesus. But then on the other hand, Jesus said it was all about him. How can we reconcile these two things? The Old Testament without Jesus and the Old Testament being about Jesus. Well, how we're going to solve the problem, how we're going to make the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament that does justice to both of these realities, let me give you a couple principles. The first principle is to make the most natural connection. And sometimes the most natural connection is not direct and immediate connection. Let me try and explain this with an illustration. When you travel between two places, sometimes you can't go in a straight line from one to the other because there's obstacles. You know, there's buildings in the way or rivers or mountains you got to go around. Rather, you follow the natural flow of the terrain. You go around the obstacles. You follow the existing paths. In other words, you go where the roads are. And you get there by you go to this point, and then maybe you turn and you go to this point, and eventually you end up at your ultimate destination by intervening steps. So in the same way, when we make the connection of the Old Testament to Jesus, we want to follow the natural progression of the Old Testament itself. Let me try and illustrate this with an example. When we learn about the Old Testament tabernacle, we shouldn't try to relate each item of the tabernacle directly to Jesus. You see, not everything that's made of wood directly symbolizes the cross. And not everything that's colored red directly symbolizes Christ's blood. So when we look at the tabernacle, rather, let's ask how a particular item in the tabernacle functions in the tabernacle as a whole. And then we'll ask how the tabernacle as a whole functions in the life of Israel and their relationship to God. And then we'll relate that to how Jesus now fulfills that function that the tabernacle once did, that is to connect people to God's presence. See, in this way, you see how each item ultimately connects to and prepares for Christ, but in the most natural way, the way that God has already connected them in history. So we're freed from trying to find and explain how each part of the tabernacle directly prefigures Christ in some tortured interpretation we have to make up. Then the second principle is to read the Old Testament in light of the historical progression of God's revelation. That is, we notice how it happened in history. First, the events of the Old Testament happened. God was dealing with his people and revealing himself in his actions in history and in the writings of the Old Testament long before Jesus was born. And God's revelation made sense to them. And it spoke God's message to them on its own terms without Jesus. And then, in the fullness of time, Jesus came on the scene. And he often explained himself by using the Old Testament. He said things like, "I am doing what the prophet spoke about." And the apostles explained Jesus by saying things like, "He is the Passover lamb, and he is the promised son of David, and he is our great high priest." So Jesus and the New Testament were explained by their fulfillment of the Old Testament. And then finally, they could look back and say things like, "Oh, the Old Testament was a shadow and a prefiguring of what was to come." They could see how all things that had gone before had been preparation for Christ. And Jesus said that it was all about him, and he taught his disciples how to see him in the Old Testament. So that's how we should read the Old Testament. First, we see the Old Testament without Jesus. That means, in one sense, we set aside Jesus and try to understand what the first people would have understood before Christ. And then we see Jesus in light of the Old Testament. We see how Jesus and the New Testament fulfilled and completed what was first revealed to them in the Old Testament. And then we see the Old Testament in light of Jesus. Then we can go back to the Old Testament and say, "Aha, now I see God's providential preparation and his working all of these things towards what would eventually happen in Jesus." So the Old Testament speaks to its own time and also points forward to Jesus. And when we read the Old Testament, we need to keep all three of these levels together in our minds in order to understand it most accurately. So now let's review. All of the Bible is one story, and it has its unity in Jesus, who is the climactic revelation of the nature and character of God. And when we read the Old Testament, we need to see the Old Testament on its own without Jesus, and then see Jesus in light of the Old Testament, and then look back and see the Old Testament in light of Jesus. This then is how it all fits together and how we can understand it. In the next section, we'll look at some concepts that hopefully will help us to understand the main ideas of the Old Testament as a whole and see what God is accomplishing in the entire story. Thanks for watching.